The readings today are from the Old and the New Testament. The first is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. This can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 693. And the second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. This can be found on page 1063 in the Pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Well, many of us know the Christmas story, certain elements anyway, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, donkeys and babies in a manger. But how has such a simple story stuck around for 2,000 years? What's all the fuss about? If I was to go to the Oracle and do a survey and ask, what do you think Christmas is about? One answer I'm almost sure get would be Christmas is about giving. Very evident in shopping centres, of course, full of people carrying armfuls of presents they bought for others. We're not going to do a survey this morning, but we're going to see what God has to say. We're going to look in the Bible and listen and learn what it says Christmas is all about. And surprise, surprise, we find firstly, Christmas is about giving, but not the sort of present we'd imagine. You'll have spotted in that reading from John chapter 1 lots of references to the Word. The first verse, if you've got it there in front of you, 1063, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. What it's saying is this Word, this God, is no remote voice from afar. It's not like listening to a recording of a speech of Churchill, but flesh and blood. In other words, a person who could be seen and touched and witnessed. God didn't send off an email or send a Christmas card. He came in person and turned up on our doorstep. If we'd been alive 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, we could have seen this person, God, the Word, become flesh, the person we know as Jesus, God in human form. But why would God do this? Why would he come in person? Why would he send his Son? Well, just cast your mind back over the last few weeks. For you to give a present this Christmas, you had to think about what was suitable, what was appropriate for the person you had in mind. So you made a list, or you made a list. The people you intend to give presents to, the children, mum, dad, grandchildren, a boyfriend. And alongside the present, the people, or shall I put it the other way around, alongside the people, you put the present. And sometimes we find ourselves saying, I haven't a clue what they'd like for Christmas. So we ask them, what would you like for Christmas? Well, I wonder if you could ever guess what it is that God gives us. If I was to ask you, what would you like for Christmas, I can guarantee this wouldn't be on your list. God knows exactly what to give us. He doesn't have to ask us. And that's because the Bible tells us that God is our creator, that he knows us through and through, better than we know ourselves. As we saw, John reveals that God has made himself known in the flesh. And he goes on to say in verse 9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Here is God's presence to us, not a light, but the light. Later on, Jesus will say, I am the light of the world. Now, this is a brilliant present because it gives us, well, it's the best present God could possibly give us, because it is exactly what we're in need of. We're in the dark. Now, of course, that's not how we see ourselves. You've woken up this morning, there's plenty of light. We don't see ourselves as being in the dark. But this is how the Bible describes us in terms of our relationship with God. We've cut ourselves off from God. We want nothing to do with him. We think we can get on better without him. We think he's irrelevant. But this is fatal in the end. It's a bit like taking a plant, maybe a pot plant, and you decide to put it in the cupboard, or maybe like some of those Christmas presents I was looking for the other day, you put it in a cupboard a while ago and then you forget where you've put it. Or maybe you do that with a plant. But if you leave it in there long enough, cut it off from light, and you cut life off from it. Well, we haven't just cut ourselves off from God. In the end, that will lead to death, not physical, but spiritual death. So is there a solution? Is there a way the problem can be rectified? Well, think, how is darkness dispelled? By light. Well, let me change the metaphor. How is guilt dispelled? By forgiveness. And this is why the gift of Jesus, the gift of the light of the world, is so brilliant. God knows that what we need most is light, is life, is forgiveness. And in Jesus, this is what he gives us. He gives us himself. It would cost him his life, of course. In his death, he grants us that new life and forgiveness. Not because we ask for it, not because we deserve it, because we don't. But he knows what we need. And what we need is him. And this is what he gives us. Christmas is about God giving us himself. But secondly, Christmas is about receiving. Christmas is about receiving. Gifts are given for receiving, aren't they? Someone offers you a present tomorrow. You wouldn't dream of rejecting it and saying, actually, I don't want to receive it. You would, in a sense, be rejecting them, wouldn't you, and their love. As we've seen, God gives us himself, the gift of his son. But look at what we have done with God's gift at verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. We haven't recognized Jesus for who he is. God made flesh, the creator entering his own creation. And we haven't received him and the forgiveness he offers. We've done the reverse. We've rejected him. We've spurned his gift. And we've rejected his forgiveness. But why? Why wouldn't we receive what he offers? I think sometimes we can be suspicious. Maybe we've had a bad experience of Christians or of a church. and that can put us off. Or we can imagine there's too much to lose, or threatened by the thought that we've built our life on the wrong premise. Or maybe we're just too proud to receive the forgiveness that we know we don't deserve. But perhaps we haven't quite realized what God is offering us in Jesus. We reject him without considering what he has to say. I don't know if you've ever had that situation where you haven't recognized a good deal. Maybe someone's selling a car, you're suspicious, and you think, I know, I can get a better deal down the road. So you reject that and you go in search of another. But as you look around, you realize, actually, that first offer was a pretty good deal. And you eat humble pie and go back to them and say, I'm sorry, I've changed my mind. I'd like to accept that offer if it's still available. Well, I wonder if we realize what God offers us in the gift of his son. For years, I didn't realize. I rejected Jesus and anything to do with him. But then someone said to me, have you ever listened to what he has to say? Have you realized that though you've rejected him, you can be forgiven? And you don't have to do anything. And as I listened to what Jesus had to say, I had to admit I'd got it wrong. I'd got him wrong. And I came to see that God's offer remained, the gift of Jesus, of his light and life and forgiveness, if I would receive him. And see what it says in verse 12. This wonderful, wonderful promise. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You can come to church for years and years, but never actually put your hand out and receive Jesus Christ. It's never too late to receive him. But what does it mean to receive him? Well, it means to believe in his name, the name of Jesus. It means to trust him and all that he offers, new life and forgiveness. And you'll see that as we receive him, he gives us even more the right to become his child. We're adopted into his family. We come home to where we belong. It is a brilliant present. So Christmas is all about giving and receiving. Tomorrow you'll be doing just that, I imagine. I imagine you'll receive what you're offered. The question for us today is, will we receive what God offers? And if we haven't done so, what's holding us back? And if we have received him, it's a day to ponder and to wonder just what God has given us. He has given us himself. He's forgiven us so that we can come home to where we belong, to be with him. And if that's us, then we'll join the heavenly host singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Let me pray and then we're going to sing. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your son, Jesus Christ, coming into a world that we might know you. Forgive us when we have rejected you. Maybe we've been trusting you for a number of years, but we've drifted away from you. Help us to turn back to you and receive afresh the gift of your son to us, to know the life and forgiveness that is in him. And may we find great joy this Christmas as we do this. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.